Now I want everybody to follow Dennis's lead this morning. He's the only one smiling. Isn't it amazing the hotter it gets, the less we smile? For all of you who are with us in this group this morning and those who may join us by way of Facebook broadcast, we're doing a series now on Ephesians chapter 4, the seven ones that Paul talks about, indicating that there is to be a uniqueness, that we are to follow a path, to follow rules, to walk in the steps. As Jeremiah called long ago, that God's people should seek for the old paths wherein is the good way. We need to follow the truth, for the truth will make us free. In our lesson this morning, as Raleigh said, we're going to look at faith. I think many of us, when we hear words, we immediately have certain things we think about. And if we're not careful, that's about all we can see in this word. The faith here that Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 is much different than what most people think. And so in our lesson this morning, I want us to notice the following things. I want you to consider this to be a truth message, to look at what the Bible says about this word, faith. Explain it, encourage us to understand it, and then to prove that we owe allegiance to that faith, and that that faith then finds faith and root within us. In class this morning, we looked together in the book of Jude in verse 3, where Jude said, "I found it necessary to write unto you that you should contend earnestly for the faith." That doesn't mean that you contend for what you think or what you believe. But this means you contend for that which was once delivered. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, so Peter said, and all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Paul said, therefore, it is profitable. It is good for correction, for instruction, that the man of God might be perfect, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth, the gospel, the good news, is a system of faith. When we understand this, then we understand that in Romans chapter 1, when Paul says, beginning in verse 16, the verse that many of us are familiar with, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Because he said, "It is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Now listen carefully to what he said. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now what does that mean, that little expression? From faith to faith. I've heard people try to explain that in many ways. But when you understand what Jude tells us in Jude verse 3, that faith is a system. It is the divine will of heaven that has been delivered to man through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is the system that brings us to Jesus Christ and thus to eternal life. Now when we look at it, we understand that there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world and would pervert the truth, would change the system of faith, would call men to something that is not true. In Romans chapter 10, beginning about verse 17, we find Paul saying, then faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. You see, when you read, you study, you hear someone proclaim the Bible. You are literally in contact with the words of life. That which will bring your soul to salvation. But understand, salvation does not come by hearing the theories, the ideas, the philosophies of men. Salvation comes by hearing the faith, the gospel, good news, the Word of God. That which was inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself. So this expression, from faith, from the system of faith. Today, what do you believe? You can pick nearly any subject religiously you want to. We understand today that we're told that well over half the world's population today believes that salvation is in someone other than the God of heaven. Many today consider Jesus at best to be a prophet, but not the Son of God. Thus salvation is not in Him, but they believe it is somewhere else. But we know that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, Peter said. Faith in Jesus Christ is essential. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. When we understand this, when we accept this, then we accept a faith that was once delivered by those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thus, when you hear the Word of God, you hear the words of life. You hear the very essence of Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, who left heaven, who came to earth, who suffered, bled and died, and was resurrected again that we might have the hope of eternal life. Now, when you hear the gospel, the good news, when you hear the faith, what happens? We know that the Bible says that the gospel, the good news, the faith, is to some a message of life, but to others, it is a message of death. To those that receive it and accept it and believe it and put their trust in it, the gospel, the faith, the system of faith, is the very basis of salvation, the very fundamental of it. And when you hear that faith proclaimed, and it produces in you faith, then it comes from faith to faith, from a system of faith to your individual faith, the faith that you have in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the inspired Word of God. So when the gospel is preached, it is here that you learn about the greatest things that there are: life, hope, mercy, grace, forgiveness, salvation. And so when you hear the gospel and you believe it, it becomes your faith. Now let's notice a few things about your faith and my faith. In James 2, there came a great discussion. People were talking about this very idea of faith. What do you believe? And so James says, I want to challenge you. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith without works is dead, being alone. We live in a world today in the United States where many people profess a faith in Jesus Christ. Many of our leaders profess to be Christians. But many of them never go to worship. They never assemble with any other Christians. They never partake of the Lord's Supper. They never engage in the acts of worship that are prescribed in the New Testament for Christians to engage in. There is a difference in lip service and the expression, "I believe," and a saving faith. We can say, "I believe." In James chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, the devils believe. You ever heard anybody say, all you got to do to go to heaven is believe? That's all it takes. If that is true, then I want you to understand this. If you go to heaven, you will stand in the presence of demons because the devils believed and trembled. Oh, somebody says, no, that's not what it means. You're exactly right. The devils believed in Jesus, but they would not recognize him and obey him and follow him. When you go back to the book of Genesis, we mentioned this again in class this morning. When Abraham had entertained the three men, the three angels who had come to him, if you remember, time went on, and this son was born. And after a period of years, the God of heaven came to Abraham and said, "Take this thy son, Isaac, thine only son, and you take him upon the mountain, and you offer him as a sacrifice." Now this was the same son that God had promised Abraham and said, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth will be blessed. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll make your descendants as the sands of the sea." And so Abraham had a great vision for Isaac, that through him this lineage would carry on, that would bring Christ into the world. And now he says, you take your son. You take him on a mountain and you kill him. You remember that in the course of time, Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain. And as they were headed up the mountain, Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide." He had taken Isaac, he had bound him upon the altar, he had raised his hand to slay him, when the angel of the Lord stayed his hand, and they looked, and there in the bushes was a ram caught by his horns. And God accepted that as the sacrifice. But listen to these words carefully. After, the Hebrew writer says, this sacrifice that Abraham made concerning Isaac, that God said to Abraham, "Now I know that you believe me." When did he say that? After he had offered his son upon the altar. The Hebrew writer says that in Abraham's heart, in his mind, he had already killed Isaac. And so when God spared him, he received him back to life in a form. And he said, "Now that you have proved it, I know that you believe me. Don't tell me you have faith in God. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus. Don't tell me you believe in right and wrong. And then ignore what the Bible says. For Jesus said, 'If you love me, keep my commandments.'" Many people have said that the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is the faith chapter of the Bible. Example after example of those who believe God. And you notice that with most of them, the Bible mentions a price they paid. Noah believed God, and he built an ark. Abel believed God, and he offered a sacrifice. Go all the way through the Bible. And you will see that these people who had faith in God, their faith caused them to be obedient. Now the lesson this morning, I believe, is pretty brief. But the conclusion to it, I believe, is extremely important. When you look at the inspired Word of God, when you look at the price that was paid throughout all the ages for the God of heaven and faithful men throughout the years to give to you and I a book, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of Truth. What have we done with it? How do you look at it? Do you seek to do some things it says in the book? Do you believe some of it is true, but others unimportant? If we say we believe in God, how do we treat His Word? Do we follow it to the best of our ability? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we make sure that we are in worship together? This is why Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the Bible gives us a beautiful example. It seems that a Christian is now called to testify about his faith. Let's suppose today that you and I had to stand before a court of law, but the court was judging whether you were a Christian or not. A faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit comes to testify. The Holy Spirit, the one who inspired this book, who gave us the faith that was once for all delivered. And the Holy Spirit says, here is my testimony. Here is what it means to be a Christian. Here is what it means to be a child of God. And then the writer of the Romans, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, then Paul says, now, my testimony, how does it compare to the testimony of the Holy Spirit? I ask you, as we come to a conclusion this morning, to ask yourself, do you ever in your life say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but have you ever thought, God says this is what He wants, but I'm going to give Him this? Cain made that fatal decision a long time ago. We have to ask ourselves the question, do I want to be like everybody else? Or do I want to be unique? Do I want my faith to be exactly like the faith that is explained upon the pages of this inspired book? For someday, each one of us will come to stand before the righteous judge of all the universe, and we'll give an answer for the things that are written in this book, whether they be good or evil. And so the question is, it is not on that day. You see, today we ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? But there's a day coming when the greatest question of all will be asked and answered. What will He do with me? And the only way I can hear Him say, well done, is to make my life, my faith, in compliance to the system of faith. What a great day it is when men obey the faith. They come to accept Jesus as Christ. They confess their faith in Him. They repent of their sins. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. But what a great day it is when Christians who have been haphazard, indifferent, come home to say, Lord, today I renew my faith, my commitment. I give to you all that I am. Because someday I want to hear you say, well done. Let's stand together and sing.